Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited Q3 and nine months FY 2024 earnings conference call hosted by Ventura Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Tushar Pendharkar from Ventura Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi. Thank you so much. On behalf of Ventura Securities, I welcome you all to the Q3 and nine months FY 2024 conference call of Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited. With this, I now hand over the call to Mr. Salil Bawa for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tushar. Good morning to all of you. On behalf of Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited, I welcome all of you to the company's Q3 and nine-month FY 2024 results earnings call. Along with me today, we have Mr. Anuj Buraki, Chief Executive Officer and Whole-time Director. I have Brijvir Singh, who's the Chief Financial Officer, and my colleague who takes care of investor relations, Gautam Chakraborty. We hope you have had a chance to review the investor presentation that we filed with the exchanges on 25th of January. It is also available on the company's website. During the discussion, we may be making references to this presentation. Please do take a moment to review the safe harbor statement in our presentation. As usual, we'll start the forum with opening remarks by our leadership team, and then we'll open the floor for your questions. Once the call gets over, should you have any further queries that remain unanswered post the earnings call, please feel free to reach any one of us. With that, I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Anuj Buraki. Over to you, Anuj.
Thanks. Thank you, Salil. Good morning, everyone. I wish you all a very, very happy New Year. I am pleased to welcome you to the Quarter 3 Financial Year 2024 earnings call of Welspun Specialty Solutions Limited. Let me start by touching upon some macroeconomic aspects. You are aware that the global economy is currently going through multiple challenges, including slowing down of some major economies, high interest rates, higher inflationary pressures, and rising geopolitical situations. The World Bank, in its latest Global Economic Prospects report, projected global economy to grow at 2.4%, unchanged from its previous estimates, while cutting 2025 projections by 30 basis points to about 2.7%. Indian economy, however, continues to be resilient despite global uncertainties and geopolitical tensions. India's GDP growth for Quarter 2 Financial Year 2024 was reported at 7.6%, better than expectations. Outlook also remains strong as the National Statistical Office, in first advanced estimates, has projected India's Financial Year 2024 GDP growth at 7.3%. With this backdrop, now let me discuss about our markets. The export market remained challenging owing to four factors mentioned before, and subdued optimism added recently to the list being the rebel disruption in Red Sea. This, in the face of ongoing weakness in the international markets, further affected the shipping cost as well as time. Amongst other markets, we have brought sharp and consistent focus on the very matured USA market in order to grow our volumes and customer base over the next few quarters. I am pleased to inform you that we have got very encouraging acceptance and product feedback on our first supplies into the American market. While we will continue to expand into these markets, our own domestic India opportunity remains of an extremely high focus and priority for us. Given the right policy interventions, continued spending by the government on infrastructure, energy, and other strategic sectors, and the preference accorded to the domestic manufacturing industry, India focus shall remain integral to our overall growth strategy. Let me now take you through the key highlights of the operational and financial results for Quarter 3 and 9 months ending December 2023. SS Steel Products sales volume during 9 month period rose by more than 200% year on year to about 12,300 tons. Similarly, pipe and tube sales volume rose by 23% year on year to about 3,700 tons. Current order book stands at about 4,200 tons, valued at around 166 crores. Total income during 9 months almost doubled year on year to rupees 562 crores. EBITDA witnessed more than fivefold jump year on year to rupees 60 crores during this 9 months period. PAT for the same period stood at 22 crores against loss of 22 crores during the same period last year. During quarter 3 financial year 24, total income stood at rupees 182 crores, which is about 61% higher than compared year-on-year basis. EBITDA grew by 104% year-on-year to rupees 19 crores, and PAT stood at 6 crores against a loss of 3 crores during quarter 3 last year. 9 months return on capital employed stood at over 16% on annualized basis, compared to less than 1% during financial year 23. As we had discussed and explained earlier, Welspun Specialty continues its transformational journey under a well-defined growth strategy. Financial year 24 will become first significant milestone after witnessing the first year with profitable bottom line. As the company scales up the business gradually, management focus continues in full swing on penetrating into newer markets, customer acquisition, developing and delivering new value-added and critical products, strategic tie-ups, and securing more and more approvals and accreditations. Research and product development remains a key area for us, and in this quarter also, company could successfully develop some new grades and products. I am happy to share that WSSL has booked first-time order for yet another high-grade, high-value grade, Nitronic 50 or XM19, which will be delivered during quarter 4. WSSL has successfully developed, produced, and delivered ultra-low cobalt stainless steel for applications into nuclear power station components. The company has exported for first time alloy 6625, very high nickel and moly alloy, seamless tubing, tested at 12,000 PSI hydro pressure for a critical application. Such developments shall go a long way into positioning WSSL as one of the niche players in special stainless product segment. As a responsible corporate citizen, our sustainability initiatives continue in full swing with specific emphasis on all the three aspects of ESG. Share of renewable electricity during the quarter remained over 30%, almost consistent with 28% during previous quarter. We have also started reporting GHG emission data as mandated by the European Commission for exporting to EU. We have completed the stage of WSSL maturity assessment through an extensive stakeholder survey, thereby bringing out areas of focus for upcoming quarters. With this, I would like the moderator to open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from Neeraj Shah from GC Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir,
good morning,
last call you did mention that you were seeing some or the pricing pressure which was seen in Q2 was expected to continue in Q3 as well. So now, where are we? I mean, was the pressure more significant, intense than you expected, or is it continuing as we speak, how's the pricing? Because now the demand, the new angle which has come into the picture is the Red Sea issue, which has started from December onwards. So what's the outlook like for Q4, for our European markets? That's first question, sir.
So, Neeraj, as it was expected, it could be seen, during quarter two call, and since the call was being done while we were already in quarter three in real-time basis, and now we are in quarter four in real-time basis. So the price pressure was definitely expected to continue, and which also is getting reflected in our top line of quarter three. Though, going by the strategy that we adopted of being into only high value add and focusing there, in spite of the fact that, the bottom line dipped a bit, the top line dipped a bit, we could, protect our margins. So, of course, there is volatility in general in the market, and we are really witnessing some significant geopolitical events like Red Sea. So naturally, there will be caution in the market. However, we believe that, these quarter-on-quarter changes need not be viewed very seriously, and these are, probably part and parcel of business. So, we continue to work on our strategy, and Q4 also, and we remain very optimistic.
Got it. And what was the impact of the freight challenges from December onwards? And did we have to pass on, or take some part of hit because of the high freight cost? The freight cost have surged by 50% or more than 50%. So is it completely the buyer is taking a hit? Yeah.
So you are right. So Neeraj, our business is divided into, let's say, exports as well as domestic, and within export, a portion, of course, has got affected out of, these freight increases. And a portion of it is already absorbed in our, quarter three results. All the new order booking is, basis taking this effect already into our pricing strategy. But yes, since, the business terms are such that it is always a fixed price contract, and generally the customers would expect that, we should not be talking of making changes to the, contracts that have been already made. But in some way or the other, that gets certainly covered up when we book our new business.
Got it. And our exports mix was, say, 65% for first half in bars and around, two-third in bars and one-third in pipes. Just for, it's a bookkeeping thing, but what was the change that we have seen in the third quarter?
So if you are talking in terms of value, plus minus 5%, I would say the pipes, the exports remained at about 40% and domestic remained at about 60%. And this is in line with, our plans. So India also being, one of our very, very focused market given the scenario at present. So I think this is the ratio that we also see continuing for next few quarters.
Got it, sir. Got it. So I have a few questions. I'll just join back in the queue. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Miraj Shah from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have a few questions. Firstly, sir, I wanted to understand what kind of quarterly phenomena or seasonality do we see in the quarter? So is it that the H2 is better than H1? And for what reasons is there, if there's any quarterly phenomena, seasonality?
If I understood your question correctly, you're talking about the seasonal phenomena, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Seasonality during quarter. So let's say if Q3 is better than Q2 or if Q4 is better than Q3. I wanted to understand what are the reasons for that.
So generally, I would say, Mr. Miraj, in this business, quarter three is, overall, if you see over a longer period, quarter three is generally a lean quarter because of a lot of holidays involved, the Christmas and, all those things. But I would say this year particularly,
the major impact that we see around is owing to, you know, other factors like the geopolitical situations, and the latest being the Red Sea. So I think this quarter was anyway expected to be a little lean, but we don't see this effect to be continuing for very, very long. So I think things are coming back, and you know, we keep optimism in quarter three and then going forward.
Understood. So next question is regarding the new product developments that we have. So we've mentioned a few new product developments. Wanted to understand what kind of two, three things over here. First is the realizations. What kind of realizations do we see as compared to our average realizations? And secondly is that which geography are we particularly focusing this to? Is it purely USA or a mix of all the geographies that we are currently exporting to? Just wanted to understand this.
So let's understand it like this. It's more of, you know, building a portfolio to be able to cater to, you know, a lot of applications. It's like this. So if in a sector, for example, an oil and gas sector, engineering, the, you know, oil well requirements, there are, let's say, four grades getting used. Now, we could be a supplier of one or two, but the customer would always prefer, you know, a mill that can give all three, all four, or at least three. So when we say new product or new grade development, it's like building our portfolio towards attaining that position of being a one-stop solution. So I would say it's a process, and in which it is not a particular geography that we are targeting. I would say it's the application that we are targeting. So if we are able to successfully supply for something to the Indian nuclear program and we attain maturity here, then obviously, you know, the same components getting produced in Europe or US, you know, we at some point in time we will become eligible. So the latest ones I would say are more to do with the oil and gas refinery and, you know, the oil well operations. So that is where our, you know, focus is at this point in time.
Right. Sir, in terms of realizations, how are they placed against our current realizations? Are they significantly higher, or if you could just throw some light there?
So at this point, let's say, you know, we are doing all kinds of products, some very, very, very high priced and some medium priced, or let's say, you know, so what we are producing as new grades, some of them are also high value, joining that league of high value, and some of them are medium value as well. So it's both, you know, you completing your portfolio and at the same time focused on high value products. But I can tell you, you know, one thing, that there are quite a, you know, good list, which perhaps in India we either we are the first ones or we are only, you know, only out of a few who could produce those.
Understood. And sir, next is regarding the competition. So who would be our closest competitors with the kind of supplies that we do, the kind of products that we make? So who would be our closest competitor in India and in Europe as well?
I think in the last call also, I had, you know, mentioned this, that somewhere Welspun Specialty is bringing out a very unique proposition wherein, in case of seamless pipe, we are, you know, right from steel making, or let's say, you know, the input being scrap and the output is finished tube going in for critical applications as well. So we don't see any other player, at least in the country, who would have this kind of a complete value chain. Globally, yes, there are a few like Sandvik or, you know, of those likes. But if we compare on the overall basis, I mean, with their kind of experience and their pedigree and history, I think, you know, that's not something I should be, you know, we should be compared to at this point in time. So this is a very unique proposition on steel. You know, we have a lot of matured companies around in the globe, you know, which could be partially compared with us. And similarly, on the seamless, there are companies in India as well as globally which can be partially compared to us. But this end-to-end proposition that we have is really unique.
Understood. So one last question before I get back in the queue. You mentioned the order book. We have 4,200 tons in order book. So what is the duration to execute this? And what is there a bid book also present?
Bid book, yes, of course. There are so many inquiries that, you know, our marketing teams continue to work on. And so this current order book, I would say, generally in case of, you can call it like, you know, let's say a quarterly, less than a quarter order book. Because what we have at any point in time gets executed over a period of 3 months, 4 months. But at the same time, there are order bookings that continue to happen on a real-time basis, which are to be delivered in 6 weeks, 8 weeks, that way.
Understood. So what would be the bid book size over here?
It's really difficult to say, but I think I'm sure you know, we'll be working on 100 crores worth of bid book.
Understood. Perfect. Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Pallav Agarwal from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Just want some sense on, you know, what levels of capacity utilization are we working on, and, you know, what are our plans of, let's say, increasing capacity, maybe in the seamless pipe side?
So, Pallav, we are very focused on first utilizing the capacities that we already have. I do not see any need to increase capacities, at least in the foreseeable future. Currently, we are operating at, let's say, less than 50% of what we can really achieve over next, 1 to 3 years' time, both in pipes as well as steel. So, as I said, the focus remains on utilizing it in a meaningful way and only produce something which is of a value. So, and that's how we also do not anticipate any large capex other than the, you know, just the sustenance capex for upgradations and, you know, empty bottlenecking going forward. So focus is clearly on, you know, utilization of the existing capacities.
Sure, sir. Okay. And also just on this, you know, nickel prices have been pretty volatile, along with stainless steel prices. So how does that impact our margin in any way, or it's a fully pass-through thing?
So, of course, with the nickel prices, and not just nickel, let's say also chromium and molybdenum prices determine the overall price of product. These prices have a role to play. And as industry, we work on a fixed price basis. So whenever we book an order, it's always on a fixed price, and we tend to also cover up our raw material also on, you know, basis back to back. So all the new bids or the new offers are based on the, you know, expected and the current ferroalloy pricing. If you really ask me, though, of course we see nickel as lower than what it was three quarters back. But according to me, what it was 4 quarters back was an anomaly. I think that was too high, and for industry, I would expect that, you know, when the pricing and the levels are at some normal levels, it will generate more volumes, it will generate more consistency for the industry at large. So at this point in time, I think pricing is also, it is weak, but a little bit of an improvement to this level will definitely bring a better normalcy than what we saw four quarters back.
Okay, sir. So finally, just, you know, on the U.S. market, so what kind of protection is there, you know, in terms of exporting from here? So are there anti-dumping duties in place, you know, on all pipes or in the stainless part, or there are some areas where, you know, there's an opportunity to exploit over there?
There is something called a 232 section duty, which U.S. has imposed on almost all the imports into U.S. except a few countries where they have instead imposed the quota, that only up to certain quantity those countries can export to U.S. In case of India, there is 232 duty, which is 25% at valorem, and which is like make in U.S. promotional duty.
So, but the market is really attractive. In spite of taking that duty as a cost, the realizations are good. On the anti-dumping, it is not a fixed anti-dumping duty. There are certain conditions basis which this duty is determined. In case of the current exporters who have been exporting from India regularly, and this assessment happens every year. So the most recent assessment for those exporters, they could bring down the duty to zero. So, unless we do not comply to the conditions or we really dump into US, I do not see a threat of anti-dumping on Welspun Specialty.
Right, sir. Thank you so much. That's it.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Prathamesh Diwar from Tiger Assists. Please go ahead.
So for the opportunity. Sir, earlier, I think I missed the utilization thing. Can you please tell me what is our current capacity utilization?
So, Prathamesh, our capacity utilization at present is 50% or below, I would say. And this is, I would say, consistently improving as we open more and more markets and develop more products. So,
any guidance you'd like to give on this utilization in coming 1 or 2 years?
No, of course, we are looking at going beyond 80, 85, 90% over next 1 to 3 years' time.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jatin Damania from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand that when you said that you will be probably reaching a capacity utilization of 70-80% or above that in next 2 to 3 years. But if one wants to look at a global scenario and the longer term vision beyond 5 to 10 years, where should we look company as in terms of the capacity, in terms of the market and the product mix?
If I have understood correctly, Mr. Jatin, our focus is very clear. We want to remain into specialty, as the name suggests. The focus is more value accretive and not volume. And that is how we are not, running behind doing things which are low value and which are run of the mill. And that is the strategy that we wish to follow also for the next 3 years' time. So, as I said, in 3 years, we definitely see our capacity utilization, to a level of maybe 80-90%. But the, more than the volume, what is going to be more important is the value. And which is what is going to drive our strategy, when we increase this capacity utilization.
So, sir, other than the operating leverage that we'll be getting it once you operate at the higher capacity utilization, what EBITDA per ton as a company we are assuming we will be getting it at the rated capacity?
I think that it's a very wide spectrum. If you really see in the last 3-4 quarters, the EBITDA swings happened, by 20, 30, 40%. So I think it is quite, it is very relative and subjective. Very difficult for me to guess. I can only say that, with the kind of capacity utilization and the value accretion and the grades that we are talking about in producing in next 2 to 3 years' time, I definitely see a very strong bottom line. And that is what I can say at this point in time.
Okay, so that means to say that at least for another 2 to 3 years, we don't see any CapEx coming in for the capacity expansion, but anything that will be there will be for the backward integration.
See, we are keeping abreast of, technological upgradations that are coming. You see a lot of digitization happening, automation happening, and so on the capacity expansion, of course, we do not see any capex. But to keep ourselves in sync with where the world is going, in terms of technology upgradation and some right sizing at some places as we move. I mean, those kind of sustenance capex will certainly come every year, but not very large numbers. I mean, I'm talking about something like 10-15 crores a year.
Sure, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the best. That's all from my side.
Thanks. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Miraj Shah from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again, sir. Sir, on the raw material side, I wanted to understand that mainly the raw material is the scrap. So for, let's say, one ton of stainless steel to produce a pipe, what would be the input unit economics over here in terms of raw materials?
So generally, let's say, you know, scrap for 80-90% of the grades that we produce in steel, generally the scrap is 1:1. So for one ton of steel that we produce, consume one ton of scrap. And on the pipe, you know, generally depending on the size, grade, and, you know, the process involved, it is anything like 20% to 25% extra quantity of black bars are required to produce seamless pipes. So if we produce like 100 tons of seamless pipe, it will consume about 120 to 125 tons of black bars.
Understood. Okay. And sir, the maintenance capex that you mentioned would be 10 to 15 crores. That's the correct figure, right?
Yeah, that's the correct. And that's not maintenance, I would say. That's a sustenance capex. It will include capital maintenance. It will include, you know, upgradations. It will include all sorts of a mix of things. Some right sizing at some places.
Understood. And sir, in terms of guidance for volume, could you just reiterate? I think I missed that. What kind of volume guidance are we seeing in FY26?
Well, I can say by financial year 26, we will definitely achieve a run rate of something like 8,000 tons on the pipes, and anything between 60 to 70,000 tons on the bars.
Understood. Perfect. Okay, that's it from my side. So thank you. Thank you so much. All the best.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Bhavin Chedda from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, Bhavinji.
Yeah. How are you, sir?
Bhavin, we can't hear you. Can request you to be a little louder?
Yeah, yeah. You can hear me now?
Yes, Bhavin.
Yeah. Two, three questions. First, on the order book of, in volume terms, 4,200. So what would be the rough breakup into SS bars and SS pipes of this order book?
So about 1,500 tons on pipes, and the rest is the bars.
1,500 tons on pipes. Okay. Second question is on the current overall revenues. How much would be domestic and how much would be export? I missed out on same if you...
40-60, Bhavin. So 40% roughly is export and 60% is domestic.
40. And in terms of the exports, it's largely pipes, or you have a combination of both bars and pipes?
No, it's, I would say from the overall top line, as a combination by revenue, it is about 40%.
Okay. And you mentioned FY26 guidance on 8,000 on pipe and 60-70 on bars. What would be the FY25 targets like?
Well, of course, you know, it's going to be a, let's say, a smooth curve towards inching, you know, to that level of, you know, production during financial year 26. So... maybe it will not, I mean, you know, there are plans and we know as to how do we want to really, you know, steer those. So,
yeah. And last one, on what would be the gross debt and cash number as on December?
So our overall debt is about 200 crores.
About 200 crores. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the floor back to the management for closing comments. Please go ahead.
So, thank you everyone. The external factors and challenges are unavoidable given the dynamism of world order. They will keep cropping up from time to time. We firmly believe even in the adverse external situations, the key to insulating and protecting WSSL business and financial interests in long term lies in developing and commercializing spectrum of specialty products for niche applications, which will have natural entry barriers of time, technical research and trials, cost commitment, customer acceptance, and successful application for others to follow. WSSL's unstinted focus towards this objective under a clearly defined strategy has shown tremendous potential. It is visible in the ongoing performance of the company, which we are confident of scaling up gradually in the direction of building an incredible and sustainable business going forward. I hope we have been able to address your queries satisfactorily. For any further questions, I welcome you to contact our investor relations desk. Once again, I thank you for attending today's discussion and look forward to meeting you again soon.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Ventura Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may disconnect your lines. Thank you.